The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. In this reading, the church hears Jesus' words on the night before his death. The Gospel reports the words of Jesus' prayer, a prayer for his disciples and for all who would believe in him through their words. I begin reading at verse 6. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the time when Jesus is sharing that Last Supper with his disciples. And it's towards the end of supper then, and Jesus has spoken to them. I think Judas is already gone. And in just a few short hours, Jesus will be arrested, and he will suffer many things, and he will die on the cross. And so it's a very intense time for Jesus, and I think he's trying to get through all these last words, these important words that he needs to tell to his disciples, and his mind is racing 90 miles an hour. This prayer is somewhat jumbled, it's somewhat confused, simply because I think Jesus is praying the thoughts that come to his mind at that instant. And there's a number of thoughts, a number of ideas, a number of things that Jesus prays for. He tries to cover here in these last few moments of his life, or these last few moments that he has time to spend with his disciples. He prays for unity of his followers. He prays for protection of the disciples. He prays that scripture may be fulfilled, and that joy may be complete. He prays or mentions in this prayer that the world has hated his word. He prays about not belonging to the world. But he also prays that the disciples not be taken out of the world, even though that he is taken out of the world. He prays for protection from the evil one, and he prays for sanctification. Like I said, there's a lot of things that are going on in this prayer. It's all just kind of jumbled together, and Jesus' mind is going 90 miles an hour. But one of the things that jumps out at me or has intrigued me with all these different subjects, these different things that he prays for, is that Jesus says that we are in the world, but we do not belong to this world. And he also prays that the disciples not be taken out of this world. We do belong to this world, and we're subject to the things that this world has. Each one of us has experienced hurt and pain. We know what it feels like to be hurting. We know what it feels like to be hurt by others. We read in the papers about tsunamis or about earthquakes. We've experienced droughts and floods. We experience the things of this world because we are in this world. We're subject to disease. Divorce affects us. Broken relationships affect us. We eventually get sick and we die. We are in this world. We are a part of this world. But then at the same time, Jesus says we do not belong to this world because we belong to God. God created us, and through this act of redemption of Jesus Christ, through his suffering and his death and his resurrection, we belong to God. Jesus has bought us back for God. He paid for us to belong to God. And so even though we are in this world, we still belong to God. And God is not a sadist. God does not want to see us hurt. He doesn't want to see us in pain. He doesn't want us to have broken relationships. God wants us to live. He wants us to live well. He wants us to thrive because that's how God created us to be. And we see evidence of that too in our lives today. Every time we sit down to a meal, we realize that God has provided that food for us. He has given us what our body needs so that we can live and stay healthy. Anytime a storm comes, he provides shelter. And you can take that literally or you can take that figuratively. However you want, when the storms of life hit us, there is shelter. God continues to give us everything that we need. We can see what God has given through the beauty of this world, through his creation. We've been blessed with wonderful rains this spring, this week particularly. Everything is nice and green and plush, and there's fresh new growth. And we realize that comes from God, a God who wants us to live, God who wants us to thrive. We belong to God. And then there's moments of grace, those grace-filled moments when it just seems that God's love just pours in us and through us and over us, those moments that we know that God is present in our lives, those moments that we do not expect, and yet God still fills us with his grace. Are those times when we are in this world and terrible tragedies happen to us, but somehow God is able to make it better, that God is still able to work through that. We live in this world. We are a part of it. But we do not belong to this world. We belong to God. But then Jesus also prays that we not be taken out of this world. You know, I think everybody or most people want to go to heaven. They just don't want to go right now. There's a key to this. Jesus prays that the disciples not be taken out of this world. He also prays for something else here. He calls for what I call a churchy word, one of those words that you probably don't hear anywhere else except in church, and that is sanctification. He says that he has been sanctified, and he also prays that we might be sanctified, or that his disciples be sanctified. Now, sanctified is a wonderful term, I think. Sanctification is being made holy, to be made holy, or to be kept holy. And what that means is to be set aside for God's holy purposes. Jesus was set aside for God's holy purposes. He was sanctified. He had one mission that he was to accomplish. That mission was salvation for humankind. And he accomplished that by taking on human flesh, as we celebrate in Christmas, of Jesus coming into this earth, taking on human flesh, and experiencing those same things we do. Jesus accomplishes his mission by going around the countryside, teaching people, by showing God's signs through his miracles, by healing people, by caring for people with that touch, by proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near and letting them know that God is present in their lives here and now. And then by going to the cross and the resurrection. Jesus accomplishes his mission. He was set aside for that purpose of bringing salvation to us. But here in this prayer, his last moments that he has to spend with his disciples, he prays too that they may be sanctified, that they may be kept holy, that they may be set aside for God's holy purposes. I know many of you enjoy family history. I remember as a kid, my cousin and I were about the same age, and we enjoyed playing together with each other. But a lot of times when our families would get together, my cousin and I wouldn't play. We would simply just sit and listen to my father and my uncle tell stories. Both of them were great storytellers, and they would tell stories, or they would remember their stories of how they were growing up, or they would also remember stories from that generation ahead or even past that of their parents, or stories of their aunts and their uncles. And my cousin and I would just be fascinated. And rather than playing, we'd sit there and listen to the adults talk, because they were such great storytellers and the stories were very good. I know many of you enjoy that family history, and many of you have dug into genealogies, and maybe you go back 150 years, maybe 300 years, maybe 500 or 600 years even. You go back, you can trace that family genealogy. But actually, our genealogy goes back further than that. It goes back to these disciples, back to this prayer of Jesus Christ. As he's praying for his disciples, he's also praying to us, because he gives that mission as he sanctifies these disciples, as he asks for that sanctification, so that they are set aside for God's particular purposes. And that purpose is to go out and proclaim that news of Jesus Christ. Next week, we celebrate Pentecost. The Pentecost is known as the beginning of the church. But it is that time, if you remember that story, and you will be fresh next week, of the disciples, or of the followers. It started out with about 120 followers. There were 120 faithful followers of Jesus at that time. And they receive that Holy Spirit, and they go out and they proclaim Jesus Christ. And from 120 followers, it grows to 3,000 in one day. They have been set aside for the holy purposes of God. And because of that holy purpose of God to proclaim Jesus Christ, that too has been passed down to us. And we are tied to that. And now we are the generation that is living here in this world today, even though we don't belong to it. But we are to be sanctified. We are to be blessed. We are to be set aside for that holy purpose to take on that mission that Jesus gave to his apostles, to his disciples, to go out and proclaim that cross and that resurrection, to be a part of that, to be a part of that continuing history, to be a part of that continuing message, to be a part of that living word of God. We are in this world. We're here now. Even though we do suffer the hurt, the pain, and everything the world dishes out to us, we don't belong here. We belong to God. But yet we have a mission, as we are in this world. May we be sanctified for God's holy mission. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.